campus, and two films will show at the Hollywood Theater. The five-week-long festival of feature and documentary films come from all over the African continent and include Thursday evening documentary screenings, Family Film Day, and Women Filmmakers Week, held during the first week of March in celebration of Women's History Month. Again, that's 26th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, playing Thursday through Saturday until March 5th. Most of the films will screen at Portland Community College Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street, in the Arts and Humanities Building in Room 104. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. From our hands to yours, celebrating 43 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio. You're listening to music from Boom Art's next show, Free Outgoing. It's from sound designer Sharath Patel. Boom Arts, it's fast becoming one of the most provocative theater companies in Portland, dedicated to international and contemporary plays. We'll talk with the curator and founder of Boom Arts and find out about their next show by an India-based playwright. And in the latter part of the show, I'll talk with author and scholar Judy Young, who will be in Portland to talk about Chinese-American women and the Angel Island Immigration Station poetry. And that's in San Francisco, but she's going to be here in Portland. Lots to talk about, so stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. Well, that was a lovely bit of music. I'm Demi Roberts. With me in the studio are the curator, producer, and founder of Boom Arts, Ruth Wickler-Looker. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
First time here. Welcome to Stage and Studio. And an actor who just flew in today from L.A. Thank you so much, Kapil Talwalkar.
Yep. Yo, what up?
Nice to see you here, and thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
They're both from the upcoming production of Free Outgoing, so it's great to have you both on Stage and Studio. Boom Arts began in 2012, and it's quickly become a respected theater company dedicated to international and contemporary plays. Ruth, what was your motivation in starting Boom Arts?
Well, I am a relative newcomer to Portland. I arrived here in 2010. And I think anytime you are a person who makes things happen and you want to contribute something that you don't see already happening. So I particularly have had a longstanding passion and commitment for international plays in translation. And there aren't that many theater organizations in the whole United States that have a focus on international plays in translation. So that was one area that I thought I could contribute. And then another area that I thought would be interesting is presenting touring works by theater artists who are making interesting innovations with form, who are also tackling social issues. So those are the kind of the two areas of focus of Boom Arts at this point.
That's really great. I mean, what brought you to Portland?
Personal reasons.
Personal reasons. You just wanted to move here, which is awesome. So you saw a need, and you're filling it.
Yeah, and I started producing the first events that Boom Arts did were living room salon readings of plays.
Which I love, actually.
They were really successful, and it helped to kind of build a small nucleus of fans.
Right.
Who have, many of the folks who attended those salon readings continue to be present in almost every Boom Arts event. So from there, we began expanding the kind of footprint of production of what we were presenting and growing our audience. And it's been a beautiful evolution, very inspiring to feel like something that I put out there as an idea has been taken up by a larger community.
Well, you seem to have a lot of international and national contacts and networking. What's your background in that? I mean, have you done this type of work as far as doing these type of plays in a city before?
I have a varied background. It has ranged between I used to be a circus director in New York City. I've worked in international arts exchange for many, many years.
So that's where the international context probably
absolutely
comes from.
The job I had right before I moved to Portland was at a university, a theater institute at a university, and its focus was public programs featuring international playwrights new works.
Yeah, because so. I talked with Mia Chung a few weeks ago when she was in Portland, and she said that you were actually responsible for introducing her play to Portland.
That's right.
You know, to Portland Playhouse. So lots of neat little connections there. Now, each of your productions seem pretty unique. I mean, they don't seem to be the same, each one. And do you think that's what makes your company, I guess, stand out?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I've had a wonderful board of directors since fall 2014. So in the evolution of Boom Arts, it sort of started with, as I said, small events that I produced, and then we've grown became a nonprofit, have a board, and all this. And so our mission and how we fulfill our mission is continuing to evolve. But certainly the through line, that if you look at all the different things that we produce, there is this kind of through line of this question of how do artists grapple with the world around them in interesting ways.
Well, how would you describe some of your more popular, you know, productions that you've done? I think the Kaddish for Bernie Madoff was really well reviewed, and a lot of people, you know, really raved about that production.
Well, I was so proud of that one that we presented it three times.
Yeah, you did. You did.
That particular work, the artist Alicia Jo Rabins had done interviews with many, many people who had been affected by the Bernie Madoff scandal, and she made songs out of each of these interviews, and then she wove them together with other kind of reflections drawn from spiritual traditions, including Kabbalistic writings, and made this whole thing into what she called an experimental song cycle. So that's a good example of Boom Arts programming.
It's a presenting, or was that a local production?
We picked it up to work with her. She had already presented it once in New York, then she moved to Portland.
So we collaborated
on developing and producing it in its current incarnation, including commissioning a local animator to create.
Well, you've done
film.
A lot in the last 2-3 years. So you're starting off your 2016 year now. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts talking with Ruth Wickler Looker, and she's the founder of Boom Arts. And we also have actor Kapil Tall Walker, and we're going to be talking about Free Outgoing, and Kapil is in that. And it's an international hit play from an India-based playwright, Anu Pama Chandrasekhar, and it's directed by Snehal Desai of East West Players in Los Angeles. And is that how you two met? Is that East West Players, Kapil?
Yeah, Snehal and I, yeah. He is the associate artistic director at East West Players, and I did a play there called Animals Out of Paper.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and by Rajiv Joseph, and that's how we met. And I guess I've always wanted to work with him. He's absolutely brilliant, and I've seen some of his stuff. A Nice Indian Boy he did, and it was awesome. Got rave reviews, and I'm so excited to work with him in this. And this is just a very fresh narrative that both of us can get behind, and the whole group is just,
well, it's a great cast, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to do some shout outs for the rest of the cast?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, we got Anil Kumar. He is playing Ramesh. So his character is kind of like the foil and the catalyst to the protagonist, who's played by Anna Kaja.
And she's in Quantico
She is on TV.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have her. She's incredibly talented. And the arc of her character, she's the protagonist of the play. And we see this really human arc of this woman who in India just gets thrown into this situation. And while it may seem for American audiences like, oh, this is like a very foreign story, like it may start off that way, it just turns out to be so, like, the connective tissue in it is just beautiful to watch.
Well, it's about modern technology and old world values colliding, and it's focusing on a middle class home in Chennai. Is that correct, Chennai, India? And it's torn apart by the whole family's torn apart by the cell phone video that's gone viral. And you know, it may seem tame to us because this is what's going on, but I understand it's very topical in India, mm-hmm. and this play had a lot of different types of reactions to mm-hmm. it. In fact, I have a cut from the playwright that you sent me that is about her talking about, mostly about, you know, there's been a lot of positive response to her play, but there has been some criticism in it. And let's go in and hear that.
But there have also been people, mostly men, I do not know why this is the reason, but they have said, please stop writing plays that show India in a bad light. And I always tell them, you have Bollywood for entertainment. You have Bollywood that makes you forget that India has problems. That's why I am needed here. I need to show people what is not working with my country. And if you want me to stop writing the kind of plays that I am writing, then you just have to make India better. That usually does the trick.
Well, that was the playwright Anupama Chandrasekhar, and she was talking about some of the response that she's gotten and some of the criticism she's gotten about her play. And Kapil, would you tell us a little bit about your character and who you play? And I understand you have a little reading for us, too, a small reading.
I do. Okay. I'd like, just 2 pages to share just in the first act, I think, is really relevant.
Well, maybe we'll just have 1 page.
Yeah, let's do one page. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, my character is the son of Malini, played by Anna. And basically, he is just a teenager that is thrown into the story of his sister being exposed to this vicious society that's going at her for doing something so human of having sex
that's the video that went out, that's what's on the video,
and it gets out, and you know, this character of my character, just to see this guy get angry and like just a very natural reaction of like, oh well, my sister is this and that and that, and then just turning around to see what he does with that, and his love for his sister comes through, and like it's just a gift to play this part. I'm really, really excited about it. Everyone should be really excited about this story.
Do you want to do the reading now?
Yeah, sure,
okay.
sure.
Why don't you do from here down and then just skip to...
Well, we probably just have this much.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay. So just to put this in context, this is near the beginning of the film. I mean, the piece, and it's an encounter between... You're not playing either of the roles you're actually playing, right?
No, I'm not.
But this is.
But it
between,
gives you an idea of what the dialogue is.
The principal
is like.
Of the school comes to visit the mom at her home.
Yeah, the principal comes to visit the mom. Absolutely, okay. Mrs. Haridas, we have suspended Deepa, both her and Jeevan, for 1 month.
Suspended?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Look, she's lying about it for some reason. Punish her for lying. Punish her other ways, not suspension, madam. It is too harsh.
I'm as shocked as you are. I would not have expected this of Deepa. Jeevan, yes, but not Deepa.
What will people say, madam? They'll think she's that sort of girl, and you know she isn't.
Isn't there a man in your family who might stay with you for some time? Brothers? Your father or father-in-law?
No, not anymore.
That's unfortunate, Mrs. Haridas. I'm sorry, but I can't help you.
Madam, her entrances, scholarships, everything will be ruined. Madam, you're in the business of giving children their future.
You have to understand my position as well.
So this video just changes this entire family, and it determines the course of this daughter's future. Mm-hmm. Ruth, what made you want to produce this?
It's a very powerful play. It's a powder keg. It's 90 minutes long, and a lot happens in it. for me, it has two exciting things. Number one, this is the U.S. premiere of the play.
It really is, yeah.
So that's very exciting. Number two, it premiered at the Royal Court in England. They kind of fostered the development of the play. And it took a while after that for it to be produced in India. So it actually wasn't produced in India until 2015.
Wow.
So that's we're right along the times there for the U.S. premiere. And also, when it was produced in England, it had it spoke to cross-cultural audiences very well. So for me, it has that double virtue of being a real insight or glimpse into another, a very specific moral context, social context, but it also has resonance far beyond that.
Well, Kapil, in reading that, how does the play resonate for you?
As the actor?
As
the
actor, yeah. Personally?
Me personally, look, I a part of me grew up in India, and I know some of the stuff that goes on, and it is a completely different world. What you show to other people is not what your home is like, you know? And I think that is the basis, the foundation, the crux of this story, and like how it all falls apart as to what is at home is revealed outside, or like our private lives become everyone's personal problem, you know? So everyone takes it personally in society. Like, it's, oh, she did this? That's wrong. I'm personally taking, you know, offense to this. You know, and that is something that I can totally relate to because I grew up in that kind of society. And then to throw on, like, not having running water or electricity on top of that is just like, wow, okay, this is a different world.
It's hard to think that they have cell phones, but they don't have running water. And
yeah, can you imagine having an iPhone and then charging it and then, like, not have electricity for half the day?
Yeah, that doesn't seem to make sense at all.
Well,
but that's the reality.
Well, they have to share the power. They have to share the power because there's not enough, and they'll share it in like spurts. And now people know when they're going to get the power, so they'll do everything in that time, like that time frame, or when the water truck is going to come. People actually grab buckets, go to the water truck, grab the buckets, fill it up, and then come back, and that's your water for the day.
Maybe that's actually a part of the plot.
Oh, it is.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
The water lorry. Yeah.
Wow. Just, so there's so many themes in this play.
Absolutely, you get a real slice of life in India in this.
It's not only just the family involvement, but it sounds like a whole society and a whole community is involved in this. Almost like I'm far-fetched here, but like she's using this resource that they all share, and she abused it in some respect by doing this video.
Absolutely. There's a bit of that, but there's also a sense of what is right in terms of conservative family values and your duty and what you're supposed to do as a girl and our roles and our gender roles. That is such a universal concept, but it's placed in such a foreign world to most American people that it's going to come like, oh, where is this coming from?
And part of our strategy, Boom Arts' strategy as a presenter, is that we're actually having post-show conversations after every single performance. And so there will be an interlocutor, some are scholars, some are activists who are going to be on stage with me talking, kind of helping the audience to kind of think through what they've just seen.
Well, performances of Free Outgoing, it's this week only, March 3rd, 4th, 5th at 7:30 p.m. and March 6th at 2:30 p.m. All shows are at Lincoln Hall Studio Theater at Portland State University, located at 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. And tickets can be purchased at boomarts.org. And I have all this info at stageandstudio.org. And all the talkbacks and the community guests, they are listed as well on boomarts.org or stageandstudio.org, where you can get a list of guests and topics. And I just have to say, it's been great to talk with you both about this play. And Kapil, just on a personal level, how often do you get to play a South Asian character in theater?
Is
that very often anymore?
Actually,
is,
you know,
it more often?
Surprisingly, the last two shows that I've done is South Asian. But what's interesting is this is completely about my South Asian identity, this character, right? The last play I did was completely not about, like, there's not even mention the fact that he is Indian, but his name is Suresh. Right?
Interesting.
So there's nothing at all in that play about his identity. But in this play, everything about it is the Indian identity. So I'm just blessed that more we're having conversations about this, and people of color are getting parts that are relevant, and they can see it in theater, and it's not just like The same thing.
And it's important to support that, and it's important to be part of it, too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that in the future there's more and more roles that, you know, are open to actors of color. But it's hard.
Well, it's important to get stories heard and narratives heard and perspectives mm-hmm. heard. And if we do that, we can create a more tolerant and accepting society that we can hear our voices and hear these stories and be like, oh, wow, that's great. I want more of that. You know?
Well, it's been great to have you both. Ruth, in a moment, what else is happening after this show that you want to give a shout out to?
We have one more project in the year. Okay. The next one is called Teatro Solo. It's a formally experimental piece by an Argentine writer, and it's actually one-on-one performances in public sites around Portland. And you can choose whether you want to have your performance in English or Spanish.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good work.
A whole nother world.
You're always thinking of something different. Yeah.
Not quite.
Ruth Wickler-Looker and actor Kapil Tallwalker. It's so great to have you both here today, and thanks for joining me. And have a great week of performances.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough week for you. And the performances, again, are March 3rd through 6th at Lincoln Hall. More info at boomarts.org or stationstudio.org. Up next, author Judy Young talks about her talk about the history of Chinese American women and also the Angel Island Immigration Station poetry, and it's all at the Oregon Historical Society events. So we're going to talk to her after this short break. You're listening to Stage and Studio. Joining me via phone is author and scholar Judy Young. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, thank you for being here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you. You know, you've got two thorough documentary history books about Chinese American women in San Francisco, Unbound Voices and Unbound Feet. And I was just curious about the importance of the theme of being unbound to both of your books regarding Chinese American women.
Okay, I think people, when they read that title, always think that the book is about foot binding, but it isn't. I use that title metaphorically, that I try to trace the lives of Chinese women during the exclusion era and how they were able to unbind their feet and unbind their lives in the process in fighting discrimination. I do talk about the social restrictions like foot binding that affected the gender roles of Chinese women in China as well as in San Francisco when they first began immigrating in the late 19th century. My books are basically an effort to collect stories and histories of Chinese women in San Francisco, particularly during the exclusion era.
Well, and you're coming to Portland to talk about that, too, and you have a slide lecture called Chinese American Women Exclusion/Inclusion, and that's next week, Saturday, March 12th, at the Oregon Historical Society. Will it be a sampling of your book content?
It will include some of the research and stories from those two books, but in addition, I am also going to include stories of a woman in Portland that I'm sure that you're aware of.
No, tell us.
I will be recapping some of the history and stories from these two books, including a new story of Leah Hing, who grew up in Portland. She was a second-generation Chinese-American, grew up in Portland in the 1920s and 30s, and was remarkable to interview back in 1980s. Hmm. She started a Chinese American women's band and went on the vaudeville circuit with Honorable Wu's group in the 1920s. And she also became an aviatrix. She got a pilot's license and was prepared to learn to fly to help China's Air Force during the Sino-Japanese War in the 1930s, but she didn't make it there. She ends up, working at the Aero Club, the first Chinese-American woman hired to work there, and never went back to flying. But I think her story is so extraordinary in the sense that she was able to break barriers because there's discrimination against Chinese women in Portland as well as other parts of the country. And for her to live such a extraordinary and active life against these barriers, I think was, just shows you the kind of resources and resilience that Chinese women employ to circumvent or to fight against discrimination.
Well, that sounds fascinating. And you're doing another talk on Angel Island poetry, which you have another book, which is about that. And for those who don't know, Angel Island immigration stations where many immigrants, mostly Asian, I mean, maybe you can correct me on that, were detained. Many Asians were detained for 6 months to 2 years before being accepted or deported. Would you tell us about the poetry there?
Yes. Yeah, the Angel Island Immigration Station was in operation between 1910 and 1940, and it was really established there at San Francisco Bay to enforce the Chinese Exclusion Act and the subsequent exclusion laws against other Asian immigrants. And the Chinese, because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, were detained the longest, interrogated more intensely, and subjected to very humiliating physical examinations to prove their legal right to enter. So of all the groups, because there were other immigrants from Asian countries as well, European countries and Latin American countries, that were also processed through Angel Island. But the Chinese had the roughest time there. And I think in response to the long detention and discriminatory treatment there, they wrote poems that they carved into the walls of the barracks where they were detained. These poems have lasted through the years and expressed their response to their unjust treatment at Angel Island.
And they're beautiful poems. I mean, and I want to give a shout out before we run out of time, Judy.
Okay.
They're beautiful poems, and you're going to be talking about that Sunday, March 13th at 2 p.m. at the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and that's located at 75 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. And both of those infos are at the Oregon Historical Society website, ohs.org or stageandstudio.org. Judy, in the time remaining, I know you created a great many oral histories, and you've done such amazing work in the history of Chinese American women, especially. I'm wondering how much value, and you were also our lead scholar for Crossing East, which is our radio series about Asian American history that aired 10 years ago. What is the value of collecting all of this, the oral histories that you gather, the interviews that we gather for Crossing East? What is the value of creating this type of document for future generations?
I think oral history is particularly important for uncovering the history of ignored ethnic groups in our country's history. And that is how I began doing oral histories, is when I began researching Chinese immigration in Angel Island and also Chinese American women. I realized that their history had been hidden. Their voices had been denied a place in our public records. And the only way I could reconstruct their history was through oral histories, and interviewing and talking to those who have experienced life as Chinese Americans, and to document their history through the use of oral history. And so many of the people I began interviewing about Angel Island and about being Chinese American women in the 1970s and 1980s have since passed on. But their stories and the oral histories representing their point of view and their experiences become part of this archival collection voices in history that that will remain beyond their lives and will help us remember and learn from the experiences of Chinese Americans and women.
Well, I'm going to have to, we're running out of time here, Judy, but I want to give another shout out for your talk, 2 p.m. March 12th and 13th at Oregon Historical Society website. You can find out more about both of those talks, ohs.org or stationstudio.org. Judy Young, I'm sorry we have so little time, but I'm looking forward to having you here in Portland. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm looking forward to a visit.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
That's it for Stage and Studio. If you want more info about this show, you can go to facebook.com/stage-the-letter-n-studio. You can also go to stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. You can also find out more about Crossing East radio series at crossingeast.org. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
KBU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, March 13th, at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven in Portland. Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, is a brand new variety show style monthly night, taking cues from vaudevillian traditions and narrative comedy. Each month's showcase features a different lineup of performers, bringing together a wide range of artistic disciplines and focusing on polished short pieces from our thriving clown, circus, vaudevillian, and alternative performance communities right here in Portland. Again, that's Oddville, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, 1464 Southeast 2nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. From our hands to yours, celebrating 43 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com. Michael Graves was an American architect who was identified as one of the New York Five, as well as the Memphis Group. He was known first for his contemporary building designs and some prominent public commissions that became iconic examples of postmodern architecture, such as the Portland Building. The Portland Building opened in 1982 and was considered architecturally groundbreaking at the time. The building houses offices of the City of Portland. It was added to the National Register of Historic Places.